And welcome.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh, I got done by that. Welcome to From the Touchline in Seattle. It's been a few weeks, so I forgot about that little thing going up there, Heinzo. My name is Tom Stauber, and I'm here with Aaron Heinzen.
Oh, yeah, let's get it going. I love how the Blog Talk got you.
It gets me. Gets me every time, every time. Well, believe
That's
it or
great.
Not, we got a great show, despite the start that we just had. I got two-footed by the Blog Talk Radio sound song. Todd Stauber here, Aaron Heinzen with me. We're happy to be back. It's been a few weeks. Been a little
summer break.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of world travel.
Yeah, you just back from Spain.
Yeah,
nice work,
well,
Stops. Nice work with your team too, finishing second in that tournament.
Yeah, it was great. Got to play in the Anoeta Stadium with the boys, where Real Sociedad plays their home matches, where David Moyes is now lurking on the sidelines.
You ran into somebody in the hotel?
I was sitting in the hotel doing a little work on my computer, or trying to. The internet in Spain, they've figured out everything in life perfectly. They do everything perfect. They take siesta, the food is better, except for the internet. For some reason, they can't grasp.
to have
the whole
proper
concept that you're going to set up this internet network and actually people are going to get on it, which might overload it, so it needs to be a little stronger.
Not quite on that. That's
a tough one,
but
yeah, I'm sitting there doing a little work, and in comes just Xavi Alonso, just kind of strolls right into the hotel, just nonchalantly.
Nobody else was bothering him or anything, huh?
Well, nobody except for my team and myself and all the moms on my team. But he grew up right across the street. He was home seeing his mom. You know?
Wow, great.
He said he likes to get coffee there at the Hotel Costa Vasca.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, he walked right in. Nice guy, though, man. Super nice guy. Sat there and talked to us. Talked to the players. Took pictures with all the moms. They were hounding him.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, you're pretty good-looking, well-groomed gentleman.
He's a Spanish Kevin Cicuta. But, yeah, so that was good. You know, great experience being in Spain. It's a great country. San Sebastian, I would highly recommend San Sebastian for anybody. Great beach, surfing. I got crushed surfing. Got a little bigger than I was hoping. I got out there, and all of a sudden the waves doubled in size.
Ooh, never fun.
Yeah, I was paddling for survival, not paddling for waves. That was a tough one. But San Sebastian is a great spot. David Moyes, as much as we give him a lot of crap, he's made a good career move here in terms of his locale.
Yeah.
Because San Sebastian is a lot better than Manchester.
Right.
A lot better.
Right.
I can't even quantify it really in the English language in words. And he's actually finding some success there. Another big difference is they actually like him there.
Right.
Whereas in Manchester, they really don't. So, you know, he's doing well there. So, yeah, great trip. Really, really good. Happy to be back. Although, got back last week and had to coach 15 games in Davis, California. So that was,
yeah, that's always fun. Yeah. All good.
Yeah.
Well, welcome back. Fantastic.
Well, I appreciate it. Enough about me. Let's get on with it here. We got a lot to talk about here, Heinzo, because let's be honest, a lot has happened since we were last on the
air. Yeah, never easy to step away from the world's game when it goes 24/7, but we're right back in it.
Yeah, I feel like when I was in college and we just decided to not study for a week or so and then you had to get back in the mix.
You missed all the homework assignments.
Little game of catch-up. Luckily, I'm very well-versed at that, so here we go.
You're reading that now, Todd? That was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that is right.
Yeah, exactly, and I'm reading the Cliff Notes. let's get going on the Gold Cup, because there's nothing like clearing up the controversy of CONCACAF, like a little conspiracy theory from Mexico. Hey, boys, there's a little bit of controversy with CONCACAF. They've been taking millions of dollars. There's an extradition request for Jack Warner, and we're just going to go ahead and have Mexico cheat their way through the Gold Cup and get 3 penalties in 2 games, none of which were deserved.
Well, who knows what the deal is, but it's clearly the referees made a terrible decision at Panama that first. The second Panama penalty, yeah, fair enough. But the first one was just awful. And the one against Costa Rica was equally as bad. It's just like they have no reason to be in the final. It's awful.
No.
I feel awful for Panama. I feel bad for Costa Rica.
I mean, I don't know who I feel worse for, Costa Rica or Panama. I mean, honestly, I mean, the Costa Rican penalty was so bad.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
The guy just jumped up like Superman.
Yeah.
It was just, I mean, I can't understand it. To be honest, when you look at it all cumulatively, and I don't want to start any rumors here on the show because you know I don't like to do that. But it smells like a conspiracy theory to me. It smells very crooked to me.
It just looks terrible. And I thought the whole deal at the Panama game with the fans throwing trash on the field and the Panama national team. I mean, you can understand how upset they'll be because you know that they're obviously like they'd obviously seen the Costa Rica game. Suddenly they're being awarded, you know, penalties against themselves. I mean, it just makes the whole tournament look bad. Well, not the whole tournament, I shouldn't say that, but it's just the last two games that have involved Mexico. It just does not look good.
Well, let's talk about this. I mean, Mexico, if they had played well throughout this tournament and deserved to be there.
Exactly. They have not.
You could say, okay, but they haven't. And
no.
I mean, to be dead honest, we're going to talk about the U.S. here, and the U.S., and Mexico, the two big giants in CONCACAF, have not played well in this tournament. They have not looked good. The U.S., you know, they got some timely scoring from Clint Dempsey to get them through. They just haven't looked good. I mean, they look so bad they sent Jozy Altidore home to get fit. Hey, go back and run around the track in Toronto, Jozy. You're just not fit.
Yeah, it's just not working. Well, I mean, you know, the blowout Cuba, who, by the way, couldn't even get through the World Cup qualifying. They're already out. Of World Cup qualifying Cuba. So they blow them away. That's expected. You know, but you're playing against Jamaica and the United States, like you said, the two big giants, no reason why they shouldn't be in the final every single time. And I guess eventually your streak's going to be snapped, but I don't know, to lose in the fashion the way they did to Jamaica is just, especially it takes all those friendly, all that work they did beating Germany and Holland, now that's worth nothing. Now they've gone up from a high back down to square one. Almost.
Well, is this? I mean, here's my question to you, Hines. Was this the lowest moment for Jürgen Klinsmann with the U.S. national team?
I kind of feel like it is, honestly. I mean, you know, in the World Cup, he did what he had to do. Nearly beat the Belgians this last time. You're like, okay, fair enough. A very good Belgium team. They had the chances that they did at the end, right? We think about it last summer, so close to tying it in the end.
Wondolowski.
Well, you know, so that's that. You know, there's nothing. That's the game, right? That's the game. And say what you want about some of the tactics stuff. So the defense sometimes, but it's good performance, pretty good performance, right? I mean, they were nearly there in the semifinals, or excuse me, quarterfinals.
Yeah.
Is what it is. And he got out of a very difficult group. So, you know, I thought that was pretty good. Now here they are at the Gold Cup 1 year later. They don't even make it into the final. They've lost to Jamaica 2-1. That's bad. After all this work, after all these players, all this build-up. I mean, this is his fifth year now with the national team. You can't. You had to win this Gold Cup. You won it the last time, right?
Yeah.
Easy enough.
You won it the last time with your B team. Remember last year we played our B team in the Gold Cup.
2013. Yep. Won it then.
Yeah.
Now he's back. Now they've lost. Now they're out. It should have been. You should have just been building on it, right, for the next World Cup, in my opinion. So, I think it's bad. Looks bad.
It looks really bad, and I mean, I think just the way they played is even worse. I mean, it was like it just never clicked through the whole tournament. And I mean, look at the Jamaica game. I mean, it's a disaster. I mean, the first goal, I don't even know where Brad
was. Well, I don't know what he was doing. Yeah, I don't know. And that's a season keeper. You know, those are mistakes. It's a looping header that just.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's disappointing.
Well, and then, I mean, when he's running out of the box, throwing the ball, I think it's a little harsh. The
yeah, a little bit harsh.
Like
right.
It's like a referee calling a 6-second call. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's never been called since the inception of the rule. But especially, I think it's
flag.
A little harsh, maybe. But I mean, at the end of the day, he was out there, and the guy smashed the free kick in the corner.
Yeah, Josh Barnes, Houston Dynamo. He's been scoring goals all year for the Houston Dynamo. So that was a good hit from him. Great goal.
Yeah, it is a good hit. But the fact that we weren't able to really capitalize. I mean, how about Aaron Johansson missing the header that came back? a little unlucky too. I mean, Bradley shot the hit off the keeper and hit off the post.
Yeah, there's been some. I mean, that's the game. But those they shouldn't be in that position.
They shouldn't be. They shouldn't be fighting back from that. I mean, even goal they scored was a goalkeeping error from Jamaica.
Yeah.
A little scrappy play from Dempsey, which we saw a lot of this World Cup, and you know Bradley finishes it, but. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a tough one.
It just puts a damper on the summer from U.S. men's national team perspective. You know, one minute we're starting to look like everybody wants this country to grasp the game and just have a real solid representative on the international stage for once. And we're not there yet, you know. We can't have these beating Germany, beating Netherlands in friendlies because everyone knows they're friendlies. And who knows what the other team's goal is. Despite the fact that you're winning in their countries, that's good. But then you can't go and lose in the Gold Cup. We play in one of the weakest parts of the world in world soccer. We must dominate this if we're going to move on to the next level. And international soccer is weird now because club schedule runs the show. But, I mean, even in, from our perspective, though, in the world, we're playing against these tiny countries. We're a massive giant in this region. We need to dominate this international tournament because it gives us a chance to play in the Confederations Cup, which is a good way to get in there between the biggest players, you know, winning the European Championships, African Nations Cup. So,
as we talked about, somehow we still have a chance to get into the Confederations Cup through a playoff.
Which is just ridiculous, in my opinion.
How is it possible we can still get into a playoff? Well, we can.
Well, we're being 2013 champions. We have a chance to have a play-in for the 2017, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, if you won the 2015, you should be in for the 2017. Why do we need these extra games on the schedule? Already jam-packed world soccer schedule. I don't understand it, but whatever.
It makes about as much sense as the referee calling the penalty.
Exactly. We might as well. Streets, we'll never know. I mean, there's so many qualifying. I mean, it's ridiculous.
If we don't make it in this way, then we're going to...
We'll get you in another way,
We're going to play a poker game between Sepp Blatter and Jack Warner, and if Jack Warner wins that, then you guys are in.
Mm-hmm. It just does seem like another little piece of we'll make a little more money here on the qualifying for these pointless. I mean, Confederations Cup it's basically pointless. And it's a run, you know, I do understand the fact that they like to have a dry run for the World Cup. In that aspect, it does make a little bit of sense. But, you know, do you need qualifiers for it? Absolutely not.
No,
absolutely not.
I agree. Well, it is what it is at this point. I mean, to be honest, when it was coming down, before the travesty in the 88th minute, I was thinking, I know it wouldn't really mind Panama-Jamaica Gold Cup final.
That would be okay. Why not? Yeah, at this point, why not?
I mean, it's
Panama.
Or the U.S. hadn't played well enough, and I'm thinking, why not? These guys have earned it, you know? Like Chile earned the Copa America.
Right.
You know?
And Panama was in the finals last time.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. So I was thinking, this would be all right. And then it just happened. And it's just like, oh, my God, you have to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Who's in whose pocket?
Who's
putting money in whose pocket? And I mean,
it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good.
Millions of other people thinking it when Jack Warner's sitting there counting his millions of dollars of bills while we try to extradite him from Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, this is CONCACAF. This is... Yeah, it might be one of the weaker regions, but it's also one of the more corrupt regions, as we've now found out in the last 6 months, in the entire world. And I mean, how can you not think that? It's, unlucky. But maybe on a little more positive note on the U.S., let's just, we haven't really even been on the air since the U.S. women won the World Cup.
Huge.
It is
very exciting.
Carly Lloyd, what a hat trick in the final.
Astounding.
And I would say one of the best women goals I've ever seen. I mean,
astounding
goal. The girl in the center circle and lifts the keeper from half field. Now, I will say this. The Japan keeper she provided us with probably the most unathletic moment in the history of sports on that goal when she fell over.
She was badly beaten, for sure. Kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, at 5'8", I think I could have actually dealt with that a little bit better than she did. And I'm not a goalkeeper. And I had surgery on both my shoulders. But
Carly Lloyd, to have the vision and the skill, it was a fantastic goal. And the World Cup final, she was feeling it, obviously, and was like, and I'm going to try this right now. Great moment of inspiration. Great cap on that.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from her.
Yeah,
because it was
no question.
Fantastic goal. And I mean... when I was watching it, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she saw that. Has she done
yeah,
that?
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And then I saw this little Japanese girl falling over, and I was like, she has done
it. She must have been just so stunned that she tried it and just lost her mind. The United States, Japan just fell apart that first. Well, obviously, everyone saw the game for 16 minutes. They were absolutely annihilated.
Yeah,
the United States was all over them. Japan got it wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, the final was Germany USA in the semifinal, no question.
It was. Yeah. It was. And but you know what? Well done to the U.S. women because everybody, including myself, which we'll get to this later, was crushing them. Crushing
you know, Michelle
them throughout.
Akers.
Throughout the early stages of that tournament, and you know what? They started playing well. They actually started knocking it. I mean, Abby Wambach came out of the lineup and they stopped smashing the ball straightforward. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's a good move.
They played some really good soccer as the tournament went on and they won it. So well done to them.
Well done to them. And you do have to tip your hat to Japan, two World Cup finals in a row. That's pretty decent. Got to say that. So
yeah.
Just a little side note. But United States, clearly best team in the world. Well done, ladies.
Yeah, well done for sure. I'm really, really happy about that. Well, let's move on. We're gonna get into the world of club football because there's so much going on, Heinz.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Astounding.
I mean, we got some teams over here right now in the States. Just had this week United, Manchester United was in Seattle earlier. They beat Club America 1-0.
They were indeed. They were indeed.
And then United's gone down to San Jose and they beat them 3-1.
Yep.
And
good win for them. By the way, Sons, I did go to the United Copa America game, and I got a chance to be down there with the players.
That's
and
great
you? No chance to talk to them. Two securities, too tight. But when they came out of the locker room, I was there, got a chance to look. Memphis Depay was the biggest surprise for me. Massive player. Huge, physically.
Is he a big boy?
He's not tall, but he's thick. Like, much, much stronger looking than I anticipated. So I was thoroughly intimidated. It's like,
that's good. Well, that's good to hear. And I mean, he looks good. He opened his United account against San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
He looks very good. I like
mm-hmm.
the looks of him and Rooney and Mata. It looks like they're deploying Mata out on the right there. It looks like he's coming inside. It looks like they're putting him out there. Be interesting to see what they do with him. But so that looks good. Barcelona 2-1 over LA Galaxy. That was actually a really good game. Got to watch that game, and it was actually a really good game.
Fantastic.
LA Galaxy, we'll talk about them a little later, but jeez.
Yeah, scary what they got coming out. Pretty scary. And, you know, the signings just get better for LA. It just get better.
Oh, gosh. And then you got yesterday Real Madrid smashing Man City. I can't tell you how happy that made me.
How about the injury to Delph? It's just... 1 minute the guy said, yes, I'm staying at Villa. A week later, he signs for Man City. Now he's pulled his hamstring. Do you think people in Villa are just ecstatic over that?
Well, there's something...
like a little bit of...
there's something in life called karma. The soccer karma came back to Fabian Delph.
It's brutal.
Yeah,
I mean, how is Scott Sinclair not being like, what are you doing? Guy just came out of the black hole for a few years, joined Austin Villa. You know he spent with a season with Delph. Delph now has this opportunity to go to Man City, who are clearly looking to put English players on their books so they don't get the FIFA suspension. You think he would have called Scott and like, what do you think, Scott? Should I go? I mean, I'm an upcoming, exciting English player. I'm going to join Man City. It's a classic black hole. Is this a right move? Scott Sinclair's like, probably going to say, I imagine he would have said, no, don't do it.
Yeah, not sure if you noticed that they've got a few other players that play in your position, Fabian.
Exactly. Oh, and now you've pulled your hamstring? Well,
yeah.
And he's played his last game for Man City.
You just fell in the same black hole that Boateng did since he cut him up in the box.
If he roots around in there long enough, he'll come out with Roque Santa Cruz or Owen Hargreaves or Vino.
Exactly.
He's down there. He's like, hello, my house, man. Who is that? It's Aaron Hargreaves.
Let me out, Pellegrini. Let me out. Yeah,
he's not there anymore, but you know what I'm talking about.
I have a feeling. I have a feeling that Raheem Sterling's going to be in there pretty soon as well.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's worth what $900 million. He scored 23 goals and 138 tries.
Gosh.
The guy scored one international goal in his life. Granted, he's just 20 years old. Fair enough, but he's not worth that much money.
No, it's astounding.
Yeah,
who knows? Whatever.
Well, but here's here's the greatest thing for me. The greatest score that I've seen is Liverpool 1 and the Malaysia All-Stars 1. Somebody tell me what the Malaysia All-Stars are. Is that like the All-Star team of all of the Malaysians? I don't know. Is it like,
I don't know. I don't know how competitive they are. I think they played them before, and I think the last time Liverpool beat them in a preseason match. But they have a huge following there for Liverpool.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, I would hope that Liverpool beat them. I mean, I'm looking at this team, and I'm thinking, okay. But, I mean, let's talk about Liverpool. We're about to get into the transfer market. Let's get into Liverpool and their transfer market and see what they've done. Danny Ings, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that signing, Hunter?
Well, Danny Ings, you know, obviously coming from Burnley, was a great, great player for Burnley. He's kind of running the show himself. A talented player, no question. But for Liverpool, I think if they're, it's kind of the same thing that they've been talking about the last year, about making these mid-level signings. And they the year before, they just signed Ricky Lambert from Southampton. Ricky Lambert is a great, solid English forward. But if Liverpool is saying that they're like, we're one of the great clubs, we need to stay at the top, we need to be making top signings, I don't think Ricky Lambert's your guy. And they followed it with Danny Ings. I don't know where exactly they're looking for in their top quality, where exactly that sits on the radar.
Well, I'll tell you where they're looking. They're looking at Mario Balotelli, and how's that worked out?
We've talked about this before on the show. Who's making the decisions here to buy these people? Is it Brendan Rodgers, or is it the board behind him, or is it both? What's going on? Because they have just signed Ricky Lambert last year, and it didn't work out, so they're like, well, he didn't work out. Let's try Danny Ings. Is it going to be Charlie Austin next year after that from wherever he goes? I mean, if he's not going to stay at QPR, I don't imagine, but it's just like, where's your line here? Like, is that Danny Ings a world-class striker that you're looking for? I don't think so.
Well, let's talk about that. It's a pool. It's a board of five people making the decisions here at Liverpool, and I think it's becoming clear. It's never been known who's on this board, but I think it's becoming very clear. Leading the board is Mickey Mouse. On it, he's got Donald Duck. Minnie Mouse is on there because they're married. And Bozo the Clown's in there somewhere. And it's unbelievable, some of these signings. I mean, I'm laughing. I'm laughing because they're losing guys like Suarez.
Yeah.
And they're losing Stevie G, who, by the way, it's obvious he can still play.
Yeah.
Watching him with LA Galaxy, and you're replacing him with Ricky Lambert and Danny. Okay,
well, yeah, you're selling this, like you said, you're also selling Sterling, which, fair enough, you had to get him out of the locker room. But, you know, who's going to replace him? Is it going to be Jordan Ibe? Not yet. No, that guy said he's too young. He's not the same kind of player. Not going to be Ibe. But Danny Ings, you go out and sign Danny Ings right off the bat, just like that.
It
looks slightly different players, but still, let's be honest, not Burnley, Southampton. I don't know. I don't see it. I just don't see it. These aren't world-class strikers, which is what I thought they were going for.
No, they're not even close to world-class strikers. These guys would be average guys in the MLS.
Yeah, I mean, they're great. They're great players, but they're not world-class, which is what I thought they were aiming for.
I will say the one thing that they still have, and he proved his worth in Copa America, Coutinho is a player.
Oh, he's absolutely by far the best player they have now.
Sturridge
is a great forward. He's an English forward, English national team player when he's healthy, but hasn't been healthy for a long time. Huge issue.
Yeah.
So, Balotelli's obviously lost talk. It's just about everywhere he's gone. So.
I don't even know where. Well, the greatest thing is that Inter Milan turn down the chair. I mean, Liverpool's trying to offload him to anybody. I think FTI's next. Gibby's going to get a call. But Inter Milan's just like, no, we don't want him. We've been struggling. We're struggling worse now than we ever have before in the history of our club, but we still don't want him. That was like when another great little thing that came out was when there was rumors that Johnny Evans was going to Everton, and Roberto Martinez came out and just said basically like, I don't know who's starting these rumors. Johnny Evans is crap. He's not worried. We have no interest in this guy.
Oh, gosh. They do have stones. They got stones. They don't need them.
Oh, gosh. Well, let's get on to this transfer. Let's just talk about it a little bit. Manchester United, extremely busy, and I love it. I think this is the greatest signing they've had in 6 years, even better than when they got Van Persie, even though he won in the league that year. Bastian Schweinsteiger, I mean, how perfect is this guy for Manchester United? He's got to stay healthy. And I know that. Everybody's going, oh, he's been hurt. fair enough. But this guy is a player, and he fits perfectly with this group of players.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just swings the ball around, moves the play. Fabulous. I mean, the guy's a winner, World Cup winner, coming off Bayern Munich, has the pedigree, has the mindset, knows Van Gaal, who gave him his debut at Bayern. Superb, like a kind of a solidifying team leader, calming presence that Man United have missed in that midfield. I totally agree with you, Stobbs. Wonderful signing.
The only downside is
he's a little bit old, but so what? If you need some plug and you need it now, what a guy to have. Complete professional.
Oh, yeah.
And the way he's just, it's a great signing. Really excited about him. And the fact that they still have Schneiderlin, the youth, what he brings to the field. The team suddenly looks a lot better. They still need a center back, but, I mean, totally with you on that.
They actually need two center backs. Let's not kid ourselves. But Schweinsteiger is the replacement for Paul Scholes.
Scholes.
In terms of what you said, his leadership in the dressing room, on the field, controlling the tempo, able to just do whatever he wants. I mean, you could see it in the Club America game in Seattle. He had a great game. He didn't play well in San Jose, but, I mean, the guy's not fit. The guy's not even cool. That's something
still
else.
Still out there playing with the kids.
That's another rant that I would like to go on here briefly on the American fans. I mean, these American fans are like, oh, United looks terrible. United's been on vacation for a month. They've done nothing. They're playing San Jose, who is literally in the heat of their season. They're fit. They've played, 25 games at this point? They're as fit as they're going to be. And people are like, oh, San Jose was better than Man United. Okay, well, let's do this. Let's have San Jose go on their preseason and play United in February, and let's see how that works out. It's going to be 15-0.
Not only that, for San Jose players, it's kind of a World Cup match. For United, it's just a game to get some fitness in. They changed their starting 11 at halftime to a whole different set of 11 players.
Every player on San Jose.
They still lost 3-1.
Yeah, every player on San Jose is trying to get a selfie with every single player on Man United after the game. Yeah. Every player on Man United is going, I don't even know who this guy is. I haven't even heard of him.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's a friendly, it's a friendly. It doesn't. When you have a team that's subbing 11 players at halftime or 10 players, that's not a game that they're thinking to go out and win or anything like that. Obviously, if San Jose was to annihilate Man United 5-0, that would be an issue. And you could be like, well,
right.
San Jose kind of overwhelmed United. Maybe they should look at a few things. But they still lost 3-1.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
they did.
And United are, kind of just doing their thing.
I'm pretty sure at some point in that second half, I saw Bastian Schweinsteiger light up a German cigarette smoking during the game. He was jogging through midfield smoking a cigarette.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree. Well, it's not as bad as a couple years ago when United came to Seattle and played the Sounders and beat them, I think, 9-1.
Yeah, it was brutal.
And
was just,
Rooney didn't break out of a slow jog and slow forward. So. Anyways, let's get back to the transfers. I'm sure I'll have another rant here at some point, but let's just get back to it. Let's talk about the right back for United as well.
Teo Darmian, Torino.
Oh.
Great player.
Looks fantastic.
Yeah. Very solid, very professional. Doesn't like tattoos. Come out and say he doesn't like them. Italian player that doesn't like tattoos. Something different.
No, I mean, that's,
report
fair.
From The Guardian.
Yeah.
So anyway, so smooth. Sounds like from what I've heard, Valencia is going to be the first choice over him. But who knows? I like Mateo Darmian. I think he's calming influence, and
I like him too. But I mean, the fact still remains that we don't have a center back. So Heinze, you better get fit because some kind of transfer coming. Chris Smalling to FBI, Aaron Heinze to Manchester United. The only problem with that is that I'm going to have to then play with Chris Smalling.
That would be great. You'll love it.
I'd love to hear Gibby screaming at him, though. Oh, get back, Smalling. that'd be great. All right, let's talk about Arturo Vidal, because Arturo Vidal had a very good year last year for Juventus. This, except for smashing his Ferrari, had a pretty good Copa America.
Right.
And now he's on his way to Bayern Munich. That's what happens. Smash your Ferrari, makes millions of dollars in Bayern Munich. Apparently, that's the equation that you're looking for here in the transfer market.
Well, I guess Bayern Munich's maybe overlooking that and the fact that he survived it. But, I think Bastian Schweinsteiger goes to Manchester United. Arturo Vidal now replaces him at Munich. I think it's a goodbye. Vidal is obviously a wanted player around town. Tadira has now just shown up at Juventus, so Vidal.
A little switch.
So, yeah.
So what do you think about Vidal and Xabi Alonso?
I think that's a pretty lethal combination. I mean, you also have the other guy from Barcelona. His name has just left my brain right now. I'm suddenly lost. Thiago Alcantara.
Yes, Thiago, yes.
So he's there. You got Alonso. Yeah, Arturo Vidal. And he's obviously going to be the physical. You know, Xabi just wants to sit off and play the long balls. Doesn't want to do as much defensive work. And Arturo Vidal is exactly the kind of man that's going to bring that kind of thing for Bayern Munich. So
yeah,
it's going to be a little weird. You know, obviously, Bayern fans to see Schweinsteiger no longer there in the midfield for them. But
yeah.
You know, as they all do, they all move on. So.
Well, I think it'll be interesting to me to see how Pep Guardiola and Arturo Vidal get along personally, because Arturo Vidal is a bit of a wild card, you know.
Yeah, I think he probably knows what he's getting into. If Guardiola doesn't suffer fools at all, so I mean,
yeah,
I think he'll stay in line for that. If you want, he's at a club that definitely is a no nonsense, win it all every time kind of mentality. So
yeah,
I think he'll behave. I think so. He did for Conte. So, who at Juventus was just ruled with an iron fist, Antonio Conte.
Well,
so
as soon as he got out from his iron fist, he smashed his Ferrari and back in South America. But you know, we'll see how it goes. Let's talk. I mean, Liverpool did make one signing that I can say really kind of improves their squad, in James Milner.
Yes.
I think that's something. You know, as much as I want to crush Liverpool, and as much as I will crush Liverpool, I think that's a good signing, James Milner. You know,
I do too.
I think he's gonna help the situation.
I think you look at Jordan Henderson, James Milner, and Coutinho midfield. That's a pretty decent midfield, actually. And,
yeah.
So well done.
Although Jordan Henderson is a little overrated, but yeah, I agree. I don't think that's bad.
He's building a good leadership role there in Liverpool, and I think the more he takes that on, I think the better you'll see him. Personally, we'll see.
I'd still take Stevie G over Jordan Henderson, right?
Yeah,
now.
Stevie G though, he just can't go every game. I think now, I think that was last year. Became kind of.
Well, let's talk just a little more about Sterling. I mean, obviously he had to go. He's made an absolute donkey of himself here. I mean,
yeah.
I can't wait to see when City plays at Liverpool.
That's going
to
be it, definitely.
I would just leave him out of the 18. I wouldn't even.
Wouldn't be worth a distraction.
Him.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even subject him to it.
I totally agree with that.
Players, clearly.
Yeah.
But. Do you think Raheem Sterling is going to be a regular player in the 11 at Man City? Do you think that he will be?
Well, you know, I'm looking at City haven't really signed anyone this year so far. Sammy Nasri plays in that position out there. Do I think Raheem Sterling is better than Sammy Nasri on some days? Yeah, maybe. But, you never know what they're going to do. They just got a lot of money. They're obviously sitting very close, though, to being – sanctioned though by FIFA, so they have to watch it. So maybe this year, maybe he does get some playing time, more than you'd realize. But I think, you know, and then we'll see, depending on how he does. But there's always going to be two or three guys nipping at your heels, and they're not young kids. They're full-on seasoned international national team veterans that if you even slip up once or have a bad game, sorry, you drop down the pecking order by two. And it's see ya in a few months kind of thing at Man City.
And
most other clubs, it's not like that. No, I mean, not even at, like, clubs. Well, you could say that United, it could be the case, and it could be at Chelsea as well, but still not just like the rotating door that City has been the last few years.
No,
you
I
know,
mean,
these other
you
clubs,
have a,
so.
Couple, you have a couple bad performances. You're now sitting in a gaping black hole. With
exactly.
Di Maria with Cuadrado,
these
kinds of players that you know you might never see these guys play in the Premier League again. I mean,
yeah.
Di Maria, we might never see him play in the Premier League.
Oh, I think he's done. I think he's going to go to Paris Saint-Germain. I think no
Cuadrado is done for sure. And take note of that, Andy Machen, as we argued about that. Cuadrado is done for sure. And I mean, to be honest, I don't see it out of Raheem Sterling. I think he's got some pace, but I think he's easily figured out. Like, he's a player that's easily figured out, and I don't think there's enough substance to him for him to be a player at a club like City. I just don't think so. I mean, Sergio Aguero is going to be looking over and going, who is this guy? What is this guy doing?
Right.
You know? He's not as sophisticated, even close to as sophisticated as a guy like you know, as a guy like Sergio Aguero, or if you compare him, I mean, even to Suarez, he's not even close.
Certainly not. But you saw the relationship he had with Suarez, and I'm maybe sitting here pecking on the fact that he did really well. That was 1 year when he had a quality player like Suarez, who obviously was Suarez was by far the shining star of Liverpool, and the fact that they were doing so well was because of him. But when he left, Sterling disappeared. You're right, completely disappeared. Had a couple of shining moments. That was about it. Maybe they're hoping he can resurrect something with the likes of Sergio Aguero. But it's going to be Nasri right behind you. If you don't do well, you got Sammy Nasri right there. That guy's a French international, and he's been in the league for a long time. I mean, again, you screw up, and I think it is the English Premier League, but I think English players are obviously seen as second fiddle to a lot of the continental players in a lot of cases. Unless you're Wayne Rooney, or maybe a Frank Lampard, you are not, or Steven Gerrard, you're not going to start over these guys. You know, that's my opinion. Still a young guy. We'll see. They paid a lot of money for him, though.
Well, it's they paid a lot of money is one way to put it. Too much money is another way to put it. Way too much money is another way you could have put it. You're listening to Tom Stauber and Aaron Heisen here on From the Touchline in Seattle. We are back. A little 3 week hiatus, but we're back. And we're happy to be back, Heisen.
Very happy. Yeah, wonderful to be back.
Right?
Back on the old blog. Oh, absolutely.
Back on the Blog Talk Radio, we're here, Back Sports Page Radio Network also. We should be on next Friday as well, live from the Washington Rush Cup.
Oh, you bet.
Oh, boy.
Be up there in Burlington.
Should be good. Up in Burlington, Washington, we're talking world transfers here. Let's look at Juventus and what they've brought in. Sammy Kadira, nice, not bad.
Not bad at all.
Leeds, that's not bad to bring him in. Super Mario coming over from Atletico. I think that's a good signing to replace Tevez. I mean, Juventus lost a lot.
Yeah, they did. You're right. And Pirlo, I mean, obviously, we'll get there. But talk about players having to move on. Schweinsteiger out of Bayern Munich. Pirlo leaves Juventus. And it was sad to see him go. He talks about it at the Champions League final. You knew he was going to leave. I mean, he just can't say enough about what a quality player he is. And now he's, you know, he can enjoy his time in New York City. Andrea Pirlo, I mean, kind of the soul of Juventus for the last few years. Obviously coming from AC Milan before that, just being in Italian soccer his whole career. Wonderful, wonderful player. Moved on. So how you replace him, irreplaceable, really. But you bring in Kadira, you still have Paul Pogba. And if Paul Pogba was to leave, then I would say Juventus were in trouble. But you have him still. You bring in Kadira. Great buy. And, like you said, Mario Mandzukic, now working with Morata. Is that going to be the same? It's not Tevez.
Yeah, but I think it'll be good. I mean, Mandzukic is a very good player. I think he's gonna thrive there. I think it's gonna be really good. And Pogba, I mean, I'm surprised he stayed at Juventus. I mean, Barca was going on a full court press.
Yeah.
And Juventus survived that. I mean, they couldn't have lost Pirlo, Tevez, and Pogba. They couldn't have. I mean, it would have
and Vidal. Yeah,
and Vidal. I mean, it would have been like, we were talking to them like we talked about Liverpool.
Yeah, completely new midfield. No, yeah, I totally agree. And I think the one thing that really saved them was Barcelona having the transfer ban, so Pogba would have to sit out for 6 months. I just don't think he's going to do that.
Especially
the play for the likes of Barcelona, it's just not going to happen. But the other thing that just did though, this guy sits under the radar. I read a little information on him, Paulo Dybala. Is his name? Argentine player from Palermo. Tore it up last year. They paid $32 million for him. One of the highest rated young midfielders coming into the Serie A. Again, played at Palermo. Juventus just bought him. Really excited about him. Attacking midfielder. This is something definitely to keep an eye on, kind of the new thing. So one of the only players to hit double digits in both assists and goals. So
wow.
Something interesting. Yeah, so wait to see what he does. Sounds like they're pretty excited about him, though.
I mean, $32 million.
$32 million. It's a price tag.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah, Palermo, good sale.
I mean, United got Schweinsteiger for less than that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 14.
That's just an absolute steal, by the way. Fabian Delph. We're going to talk about him a little more and a little later, but he's about to go into the black hole at Man City.
he's already halfway there with his hamstring.
He's already halfway there. His hamstring's hanging out
of
the black
brutal.
Hole.
Yeah, I can't believe what a horrible. I feel bad for him. I mean, I don't know.
No,
we thought it earlier.
I feel bad for Villa at the end of the day. I mean, these guys just—I mean, they're just getting taken apart. Let's talk Benteke. I mean, what do you think about that?
I think that's a good buy for Liverpool. You know, James Milner is a good buy. Christian Benteke, we talked about him. He basically kept Villa single-handedly in the Premier League. The guy is a monstrous number nine. He's a nightmare to mark. I think Benteke is one of the most exciting young strikers in the Premier League. The guy is scary, terrifying.
Yeah.
He's a new Didier Drogba, I think, a bit. Maybe not as good as Drogba yet, but the guy can do a lot. He can do it all.
Yeah. Well, I think he's certainly a better buy than Danny Ings.
He certainly is, no question. And that is a step. Liverpool buying him is like, okay, that's a good buy. He's not world-class yet, but he sure could be.
Danny Ings is not going to be world-class.
No, he's a great player, but not world-class. Anyway.
But I will say, I mean, Villa has just been, they've just been torn apart. I mean, what's the Jester going to do? What's going to happen?
I don't know.
Is he jumping around on the sidelines?
I don't. Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. The guy's going to, you know, he's going to have to set himself up again.
Well, Timmy Sherwood's going to be sitting down a lot this year, I think.
It's going to be a tough ride.
He's going to be pushing that relegation zone, I think, come March. So he better come up with something. But unlucky for those guys. Petr Cech to Arsenal. I think this is one of the, to be honest, one of the biggest transfers, because as much as I hate to admit it, Arsenal is not far off of being a top Premier League side. And this might be a piece that really, really helps get them there. I mean, I think Petr Cech still has 4 to 6 good years left.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's wearing a helmet, for God's sake. It definitely extends his career a few years. Okay. So I think that I think that this is kind of on the down low, one of the biggest transfers of the whole signing period.
Well, yeah, you heard a lot of Chelsea players saying they were sad to see him go. And yeah, I think Petr Cech is, you're right, he's a fabulous goalkeeper. Yeah, I totally agree. Arsenal have made a great purchase. I'm interested to see. I think Arsenal are one, you know, maybe world-class striker. I thought if they were going to get Benzema, that was going to be the real deal. I think Coquelin's just made the move. Obviously, Flamini's leaving. Coquelin's going to sit in there. He's taking over the midfield. If Arsenal can behave and just kind of get rid of maybe the ups and downs that they have at the first half of the season, you know, where they start off poorly and get worse, and then suddenly the second half of the game, they're back in the top four, they're destroying everyone. But they if they can just get rid of that, like those crazy losses at the very beginning of the season, you're right, Stops. They could be right in there to win the Premier League.
Well, I think having a guy like Petr Cech back there is a guy that can prevent some of those poor losses that they have. You know, a guy that's just solid back there. I mean, Arsenal, they're always going to blow it in January. It's something I look forward to every year. It's like Christmas after Christmas. But they're always going to blow it. But, I mean, maybe they're going to get themselves a little further ahead this time, and it'll take them to, like, February to blow it. I don't know. But I think it's definitely a big signing. Here's something that isn't a big signing, and that's Falcao to Chelsea. I'm not sure what's going on here. Jose Mourinho, I know you're a genius. I know that you've been able to get the most out of players like Didier Drogba, but I don't know if you watched last year. Falcao looks like he had a school bus on his back when he was running around on the track.
He also, I'm not sure if you noticed how many goals he scored against Copa America. It was zero. But, I don't know either. I mean, it is, and I do love Mourinho, just the entertainment factor. He's like, if he does this, if Falcao scores 19 goals, the guy's going to be dancing. He's going to be just smiling from ear to ear, being like, thanks, United. I just took Falcao. Just like when he was like, yeah, David Moyes, I'll sell you one matcha for...
Yeah, exactly. Here you go. Half one matcha.
And I'll watch you not finish on the top of it, because I know it's exactly what you don't need. Nothing against Juan Mata, who I'm glad he's, you know, at United. But
oh, I'm glad
I think
he's
at the
there.
Time it was like, he just wanted to look good, and he was like, yes, Juan Mata doesn't fit my plans anymore. Even though he was Chelsea's fans pick of the year for last year.
Player of the year.
That's great.
Yeah.
Mourinho does stuff like this, and it is, thank God, he's around. You love to hate him. People love to love him. It's just fun. He makes it fun.
I love him. I mean,
I do too.
Listen, if Falcao scores even 10 goals, he's going to be dancing around.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to become the new Jeff.
If he works it out, I mean, he's obviously seen something. Falcao was an insane player before he got injured. Maybe he thinks it's still there. He's obviously still in him. He's just lost confidence or, you know.
Well, I mean.
It's a great project. Very exciting slot right now in the Premier League.
But you gave us the best stat that it's going to really give us an insight of what's going to happen here. He scored 0 goals in Copa America. Zero
goals.
Yeah, zero. I scored 0 goals at Copa America, and I didn't play 1 minute. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know about this. There's just a little bit of a surprise. Caballos leaving PSG, where I thought he was a big player, did very well, and that's a great team. To go to Crystal Palace and rejoin Alan Pardew. I don't know if he likes a headbutt or what this guy's deal is. But.
Just likes Alan Pardew. I think he just couldn't get in the team at PSG. It's just too difficult. Too much money at PSG. Clearly, PSG, they swept the French League, won all 3 domestic trophies, the League Cup, the French Cup, the league title. Now they're going for the Champions League, obviously. I mean, they're the only people that would be able to buy, other than Monaco, but even Monaco can't keep up with them. They're just, they have an unbelievable team.
But if
the only problem is they just don't get a solid challenge week in and week out like other leagues do. So
I know, but if I'm Caballé, I want to play in the Champions League.
You know,
if I'm Caballé looking at Crystal Palace, I'm not playing in the Champions League.
You're right about that. It is a kind of a strange move. Just for his career, I need to get back on the field. I will be playing in the Premier League. Crystal Palace, they're a solid team. They're going to stay. You're not going to win anything. He's just won everything in France. He's got, you know, he filled his trophy case a bit. He wants to go back and get back on the field. That's all I can think of. Back with Alan Pardew. Enjoyed playing for him at Newcastle. The only thing you can really think of.
He's in London.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. I'll take it. I can't crush him anymore. I'm sorry. I'm trying to. But let's talk about the MLS in terms of transfers, and then let's just talk a little bit about the league. But I'm telling you right now, I mean, the way this is setting up with a powerhouse on the West in L.A. and a powerhouse on the E in the East in New York City FC. New York City FC, not where they need to be in the table right now, but listen, you're going to have a center midfield of Frank Lampard and Andres Pirlo.
With David Villa.
And you have David Villa up top.
And you got mixed discord, actually.
And you got mixed discord. I mean, listen, this is a team. I mean, those guys are players still. I mean, Juventus was dying to re-sign him, and they just lost to the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Frank Lampard was a big player for Manchester City, a team who's spending money all over the world.
Right.
These guys, I hear people saying, I hear people saying, like, oh, these guys are just a retirement league. These guys are not on their retirement. These guys are still players. Steven Gerrard is not.
No, he's definitely not.
Neither is Giovanni Dos Santos, by the way.
Certainly not.
Listen, and either is Robbie Keane, by the way, if you saw the goal that he scored when he took the 60-yard ball out of the air.
It's a great goal.
And then passed it in the goal. I mean, listen, I'm so excited to watch these teams play. I'm so excited to watch them play. I'm so not excited to watch the Seattle Sounders play now as much as these players are coming in and they're playing good soccer. I mean,
right.
I can't wait to see what these two teams do with these players that they have in them. Once these players get in the rhythm, get fit, I think this year, you know, you can look at it, it is what it is. They got here late, they're going to get a late start. But man, you look at what's ahead for the team,
right?
And what's ahead for this league, and
right.
I think it's pretty exciting. What do you think about these signings?
Well, there's no question, Sal, that you know these guys come like the Pirlo, Lampard, Gerrard. They want to go to places. They're not going to go to Kansas City. They're not going to go to Dallas. They're going to go to L.A. or New York. In that aspect, they do. MLS is a great league. It's coming up. It is not the Premier League. It's not Serie A. So it is a little bit more relaxed for these guys. So in that case, I can see people saying that. That said, like you mentioned, Steven Gerrard is not going to just come out and walk around the way Ljungberg did when he came to Seattle. You know, he's going to come out and give his 100%. Pirlo's going to come out and give 100% in Pirlo fashion. Meaning he's not going to be playing defense like he does occasionally for Juventus in the Champions League final. He will be getting the ball and serving it wherever he wants to, you know. These guys want to come. They still want to contribute. They still have egos. They still want to play and win. And, you know, you're going to see New York build around Pirlo, Lampard, midfield with David Villa. David Villa's got to be just out of his mind excited about this. He gets to service from Andrea Pirlo. He can make runs whenever he wants.
those two, when they get in a rhythm, like you said, it's going to be fantastic. I think New York City is just missing a bit of a back line that can keep the goals from coming through, you know. So in that regard, I think L.A. is looking that's one aspect for New York. I think L.A. is going to be an absolute monster of a team. Like I said, Giovanni Dos Santos is not even close to retirement age. That guy is full on playing right now. So he's going to be a huge contribution using his legs. Steven Gerrard, Robbie Keane, like you said, Robbie Keane's giving us 100% all the time. That guy all doesn't play any other way. So I think for me, L.A. is looking to repeat, no question.
No question that they're going to repeat. I'll say this. If you look at the way TVG celebrated his first goal for Galaxy,
yeah, so just thrilled.
This guy is invested, man.
Yeah, totally.
He's invested in what's going on. Just taking a look here at the Eastern Conference, it's pretty tight. New York City is in ninth place. They're only 3 points out of a playoff position, though. And
I think we'll see them in the playoffs.
Chicago Fire's got a couple games in hand. They're on 18 points at the bottom, and they're only 6 points out of the playoffs.
Yeah, it's really tight on the East Coast. It's, you know, we say it all the time. This league is up and down. Like we said, some Sounders taking a lead a couple months ago, or a month ago, excuse me, just before the Gold Cup started. You know, we lose Dempsey, we lose Evans, Martins goes down, injuries everywhere, Alonso's hurt, and now Seattle is limping their way along in the league. It's kind of getting scary.
They're limping. They've lost five, six. They're barely still in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, I think that's going to change.
When
Olba and Clint get back together, I think that will change. But, I mean, let's be honest. Clint's going to take a little break here after the Gold Cup.
Yep, no question.
Still not fit. They might drop down a little further. FC Dallas sitting at the top of the Western Conference with a couple games in hand in Galaxy, but I don't think it really matters. I mean,
I totally agree. I think Galaxy are just because we saw this before from Dallas. Dallas, at the start of the season, was the hottest team in the league. They dropped for a while. Now they're back. I mean, they're dealing with the same thing, though. They've had players gone, Blas Perez, those guys gone at the Gold Cup, so they'll be coming back eventually. So Dallas could still be off, but I totally agree with you. LA is going to walk through everyone, I think.
And there's really a little bit of a logjam there in the West. I mean, really between sixth place, which is Portland Timbers and Seattle Sounders on 32 points. I mean, FC Dallas on 35 points at the top. There's 3 points that separate the first six spots. So, and then you've got, I mean, at the end of the day, Colorado Rapids and Houston Dynamo are on the bottom with 24 points. I mean, they're really only 8 points out. So again, it's up and down. It should be exciting. And, you know, I mean, looking forward to seeing it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that the cards are all stacked in one deck, and that's in Bruce Arena's hand. And,
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm honestly just looking forward to LA Galaxy playing.
Yeah, I'm just see exactly what they can come up with. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Pirlo and Lampard and the David Villa connection. I mean, that's a quality group. So, anyway.
Just fantastic. Yeah. Well, you're listening to Todd Stauber and Aaron Heinzen from the Touchline in Seattle. We're here on Blog Talk Radio in the Back Sports Page Radio Network. Catch us every Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. We'll be back live from the Washington Rush Cup, big tournament up there with 256 teams.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be going live from there next week, and looking forward to that. That should be fun in a big metropolis of Burlington, Washington.
That's right, Burlington, Washington. It's gonna be good.
Back up there, but let's get on here, Heinzo. A World 11 for you. Then we're gonna get out to the bottom three, and we'll get on to a little two-touch. World 11 is pretty easy for you this week, I hear. That's
very easy. Oh yeah, very easy. You know, I'd like to acknowledge, you know, congratulations, Chile, winning the Copa America first time ever. Got to just throw that out there. Still not in my top 11 though, which obviously goes through the beginning of the month when we took our first break. Got to go with the women's U.S. national team. Congratulations to them, World Cup winners, World Cup champions. I will just say the starting lineup of the team that started the World Cup final. We got Hope Solo, Becky Sauerbrunn, Carly Lloyd, African World Cup final. I mean, she should be on the top 11 for the next few months for that. Allie Krieger, Lauren Holiday, Alex Morgan, Morgan Bryan, Megan Rapinoe, Tobin Heath, Julie Johnston. Fantastic performance from her from the entire World Cup and the back four, I should say, and Megan Klingenberg. Congratulations to those gals, world champions. Good luck next summer in the Olympics.
Well, now, here's really the question everybody's waiting for. Is Scott Gibby Gibson still the coach of the World 11?
Scott.
Or are you going to give that to Joe Ellis?
Nope, this was taken over by Scott Gibby Gibson. And I don't think and I have a feeling you won't have to be like, come on, Julie, get back. Because she's already back. These people don't defend.
Gibby's moving up in the world from FTI over 30s on Monday night. He's now coaching the women's national team. Well done, Gibby. Sweeper Julie Johnson and Ed Stauffer.
That's great.
Well, we're going to move on to the bottom three, and it's there's a lot here. Number three on the list, I'm going to give it to the Gold Cup refereeing in CONCACAF. I mean, the fact that this is happening in Mexico, and the fact that people are even whispering conspiracy theory about CONCACAF is just, I think it's just shocking. And I think
shame.
The refereeing is clearly bad. We've been talking about refereeing way too much. We had to talk about it last time on the show when we were talking about the Seattle Sounders Open Cup debacle.
Right.
And here we are talking about it again. What do you know? An American referee causing a problem in the Gold Cup. I feel like American referees should just not be allowed to ref at a high level. They're just not good enough.
Yeah, that was an awful, awful call. I mean, you know, I could see where he was going with it, but it's just not enough there. Whole body's in front of it.
Well, and the thing that bothers me about it is the referee association or whoever it is comes out and always support the referee. How can you support the referee in this? I know, yeah, you got his back and you got to stand behind
right.
him. But maybe you just put your hand in the air and go, yeah, he got it wrong. I think
right.
everybody would respect you a lot more if you just admitted you got it wrong. Everybody clearly thinks it. You
right.
know? Everybody clearly thinks he got it wrong. So why would you come out and say, oh, we support him? Like, listen, I know you support him in theory. He's one of your referees. You got to stand
sure.
behind him.
Absolutely.
But the guy can make a mistake. It's your job to hold your hand in the air and say, yeah, he's made a mistake.
I totally agree with you. I agree. I think it should be, you know, we do support him. We don't support what Panama did right after that surrounding the referee. Absolutely can't do that. Just looked like he was going to get pummeled, really. I mean, you understand those passions get high. And if you make a huge mistake like that, you know, those things are, again, not saying what they did at all was at all appropriate, but, we've all been in the heat of the moment games that people get really, really excited, and that is a costly, costly penalty for them. So,
yeah. I know. It just
doesn't look good. The fact that it was the second one in a row for Mexico to be awarded as
well.
Well,
I mean, come on. And then they get another one.
I agree. Yeah, it's just, yeah. It's,
I mean, I'm surprised that I just after the game didn't just blow the whistle and go, Mexico wins. Let's just say it would be better. They've got to play in the final. Just say, listen, I'm gonna find some way to make them win in this extra time. I'd rather just save their energy for the final. Game over. So, anyways, they're number three on the bottom three. Number two, a little surprise appearance. About a month ago, we were on the show, Heinzo.
Yeah.
And I was actually in Boise, and I absolutely crushed Joe Ellis and the other women's national team.
I recall that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was being honest with where I was at that time.
You weren't alone.
Me, they went on to go ahead and smash everybody and win the World Cup. By a large margin, and making me look like a complete donkey. Not the first time it's happened on this show. I'm putting myself in the bottom three at number two.
Todd Stauffer, what an idiot.
This guy's an idiot.
This guy doesn't know anything. Well, that's great. Kudos to you for giving your ass, and Jill, I owe you one.
Unlike CONCACAF, I can put my hand in the air and say I'm a donkey. I got it wrong. So,
that's great.
So I'm number two there, putting myself in the bottom three. Remember this moment in time. Number one on the bottom three, it's two guys, and it's more of an idea. Raheem Sterling and Fabian Delphine are everything that's wrong with world football. These guys, I mean, Sterling doing what he did at Liverpool, Delph doing what he did at Villa, committing himself to the club and his future, I love this place, and then a week later he's doing a medical in Manchester. I just think it's everything that's wrong with the game these days. These young guys, they're arrogant, they've got no sense of loyalty, they've got no sense of commitment to their club, to the people that have brought them up. And to me, I just have no tolerance for it. And the fact that Fabian Delph is dealing with a hamstring injury and sitting in the black hole of Manchester City right now is okay. And I think Raheem Sterling's in the ladder going down myself. So I hope they fall in there. What's going to happen? They're probably each going to score 25 goals, and I'm going to be putting myself in the bottom three again. But right now, those guys are going to be in the bottom three.
Do you think that, you know, there are young players, they're playing at clubs, money or career? I mean, that's the thing they have to take. It's
money.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Because you're not going for your career.
No, it's money because they're going in the black
hole. It's a challenge, but I understand it. Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough decision.
Well, Heinzo, we got sure good to be back.
Great to be back, Stobbs.
Great to be back. We'll see you again next week with four Aaron Heinz, and I'm Todd Stauber. And have a good week. We'll talk to you then.